Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
All your faithfulness, all your power. sin.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, there's only one way unless you sin. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Been saved by grace through faith. Let's stand and sing a great hymn this morning. We'll sing this. Doug Lips, it was already in the bulletin. Richard said, would you sing this song this morning? I said, yeah, brother, it's already in the
bulletin. Brother, sing it like it was. Sing a real one.
Yeah.
Sing it from your heart and let it come out. I'm sorry. I know people think I'm crazy, but Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
And I saw Angel this morning.
Yeah.
This girl playing this organ, she blessed my heart. I can't really put it. You played that song a while back. You girls did. Oh, it was so pretty. Just sing it, brother. I don't want to get started.
Man, bless him, Lord.
I can't help it. I feel like $1 million. I know the prayers, you think, your prayers went up. And I feel I'm not dressed. I'm not depressed. I'm not hurting. I'm not sick. I saw angels this morning.
Amen.
They're alive. I saw angels.
They are new. Because of this. Amen.
Listen.
Sing it good.
Thank you.
Have you had times when you've known peace in the midst of chaos in your life? Have you felt God's love when you've walked through a tragedy? Is there something big and strong and comforting at the bottom of your responses to discouragement, disappointment, and loss? In Christ, it can be well for you, whatever the circumstance. He died for you. He sympathizes with your pain. He stays with you. And he promises to deliver you to himself, for he will forever guard you perfectly from sin, death, suffering, and grief. Is it well with you today?
Yeah.
It is well. I want to talk to you this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14. And while you're turning, let me kind of put our spiritual furniture into place. Now, we all know that it's by God's grace and through faith that we're saved.
Right.
I mean, I just thank God for His grace.
Amen.
And I thank God for His faith. You see, He gave me a spark of faith that I could do whatever I wanted to. I could fan it and become Christian, or I could grieve it and smother it and just do everything I could to quench it and die and go to hell. It's my choice.
Right.
And I thank Him for that. But He had to give me that spark of faith in the beginning. And I thank Him for that. Now, the Bible talks about faith, and we're going to look at that this morning. And there's two kinds of faith talked about in the Scripture. One is the initial spark of faith that we step out, whether it be a vacation Bible school or a revival meeting or a Sunday or Sunday evening worship or a Wednesday night prayer service, that He gives us that spark of faith and we step out and receive Christ as our Lord. Now, faith doesn't end there. For the Bible teaches very clearly that not only are we saved by faith, but we walk by faith. After that initial encounter, after that life-changing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ because of our faith in Him, then day by day, we walk by faith. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about is our walk of faith. I understand, as I read the Scripture, that where we're taking up here in chapter 14 of the Gospel according to Matthew, Peter has already been saved. He's already become a child of God. And then the Lord Jesus challenges him with words that I want us to look at this morning. This chapter begins with a sad note. It's very sad. Herod, the king, had allowed his brother's wife to move in with him. And he was living with his brother's wife. And as he was living with his brother's wife, they jailed a preacher for his faithfulness to his call. His name was John the Baptist. And while he was there encountering the king, he shook his finger at the king and he said, "What you're doing is ungodly. It's not right for you to have your brother's wife." And it kind of saddened the king, but his live-in sister-in-law really got upset, Herodias. kind of made her feel like that she was living a life of sin. Bless her heart. Sort of like not too long ago, I was in Walmart and I was over in the fishing supplies and I looked around and there's a woman just standing there gone. I looked down to see if I had forgotten part of my garments. I was fully clothed, and so I went around the corner and began to look at some boat supplies. And while I was there, I looked up and she's at the other end of the counter, just gone. And I thought, well, it's best that I move over into automobile supplies and I went around there. And it wasn't long till I looked up and there she stood, gone. And I'd just taken it as long as I could. And I said, "Madam, may I help you?" She said, "I'm sorry for staring. But you look just like my fourth husband." And I thought, and a lot of times when I think it comes out. And I said, "Madam, for crying out loud, how many times you've been married?" And she said, "3 times. I gave her the whole Walmart. I left. Thought it was bad to be looked like her fourth husband. Herodias was upset. And so her daughter goes in and dances for the king. I'm reading between the lines. You read the scripture for yourself. See what it says to you. But it must have been a pretty provocative dance. Because the king got so beside himself that he said, "I'll give you as much as half of my kingdom." She was a good daughter. She sought counsel of her mother. What should I ask for, Mom? You asked for that old preacher's head on the platter. Now, he wasn't the first nor the last preacher that found himself being sought at in a wrong kind of way. She went back in and told the king, "I want John the Baptist's head on a platter, Charles." Now, he didn't want to do it, but because of his word in front of witnesses, he had John the Baptist beheaded and brought his head in. That starts off on, Matthew 14 starts off on a sad note. Amen? That's sad. When a man of God, faithful man of God, had his head whacked on because of hatred and jealousy. Well, he moves from there to the feeding of 5,000 people and men plus the women and children, probably a company of maybe 12,000-15,000 people. And he fed them from a young lad's lunch. And then, as the day grew long and weary, he sent the disciples, the apostles, into a boat and cast them off and sent them for the other side of the sea. And he himself went up into a mountain to pray. You could see his humanity there. He was human enough to be tired and weary. He was human enough to feel a need to talk with the Father. And then up in the morning, wee hours of the morning, he goes to catch up with his apostles. He was human enough to want to join his friends. He was God enough to walk on the water.
Yeah.
Every time I get to feeling pretty good about myself. I find me a body of water. Just try it sometime. It's a humbling experience. Amen?
That's right.
You get to feeling all proud about yourself and who you are. Just try walking on water. It'll humble you. When we get now to verse 22, and you know the drill, if you're able, and only if you're able, if you have a new hip, knee, or a bad part, whatever, you sit still. But those of you that are able, would you stand in reverence for the reading of God's word, beginning in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." Now, that don't mean as much to us, because in the 21st century, we don't call them spirits. You know, you've seen enough of this foolishness on TV. The Walking Dead. They assumed it was a ghost. Now, I don't care who you are, if you think you've seen a ghost, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Oh, I'm glad he shows up with a word of encouragement. At the lowest moments in my Christian life, he has somehow showed up and said, "Be not afraid.
It's I."
And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it's really you, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he simply said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him, and said unto him, now listen to what he said to Peter, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they would come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let us pray. Master, speak to every heart here this morning. Help us to understand your invitation is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it exciting to hear the Master, the God of all creation, look at his apostle and say, "Come." I don't know about you, but from time to time, you would look at me, a big, and ugly as I am, you would think that I ought to be able to go bear hunting with a switch. But I want you to understand that I have run up on bears in the mountains. And me in possession of a high-powered rifle. And I have stood as close as from here to my wife to a grown boar bear, 400-pound bear, and him rolled his lips back and popped his teeth, that I had that ghost syndrome. My hair had been gone a long time, but I could feel it standing. Fear. Amen?
Right.
There are some things that strike me. An old gunnery sergeant, when I was in the Navy, he was my jump master when I was going through air crewman school. And the first time we went up, he kept telling us that we were goofing off a lot in ground school. And that morning they took us up, we hooked up and made our way down to the door, and the light turned green and the whistle blew, and I was in front of the door. And everything from the waist up wanted to go out the door. But my legs became like concrete. They wouldn't move. He blew the whistle a couple of times, and listen, folks, when there's nothing out there but white clouds to jump on, you don't feel like jumping. And he put his foot in the seat of my pants and shoved me, and I went past the end of the wing before it started down. Like my worst fear you had was you was going to get washed out of the program. My worst fear was when we got to ground, I was going to be washed out. Next morning, at roll call, about 4:30 in the morning, out on the grinder, he said, these three men lay down at my office after roll call. My name was one of them. I knew what I was going to his office for. He was going to give me walking papers. I'm out of the program. He seen the other two fellas before me when I went in, and he was a short fellow. And he knew from the very beginning I didn't like him. It was pretty well spoken without saying a word. And he called me into his office, and I just knew the dreaded word was, get your stuff and go back to the barracks. When I got in there, he taught me a lesson that I've never forgotten. He said, why do you think you're here? I said, I know why I'm here. He said, why are you here? I said, you're going to wash me out of the program. No. No, you're wrong. He said, now, if you had turned and tried to come across me, fighting me, and keep going out that door, I don't force you out. But you were trying. But you just couldn't make it. He said, I've got a question for you. Why didn't you want to go? And the hardest word you can muster up as a man was, I was afraid. That's the hardest word a man can speak. And I said, well, he said, this coffee now? And I said, well, my heart was full of fear. And he said something to me. He said, Edwards, courage is not the absence of fear.
Right.
He said courage is digging deep enough to find that hidden little source of strength to do what's terrifying you. Now next Thursday, don't look out that door. When you turn to that door, you play like. And I said, play like. He said, yeah. You get in front of that door, close your eyes, and play like you're going to jump in the biggest, softest mattress you've ever seen. You're just going to jump right in the middle of that bed. And you'll have no problem getting out that door. But don't look. Just walk. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot in life strikes us with fear.
That's right.
To the lost person here this morning, the word of the Lord said to Peter, come. And to the lost man or woman this morning, he is saying to you, come. And guess what? Your heart is filled with fear.
Amen.
The devil will immediately tell you, folks will stare at you. Well, of course they will. They do in Walmart. They do at Bass Pro Shop. They do on the lake. Wherever you're at, folks stare at you. There's none of us just alike. A psychiatrist said to me, yes, I missed it once. He said to me, after giving me a barrage of tests over the VA, he said, Mr. Edwards, we find you to be very normal. I said, can you put that on paper? I've never been a I'd like a piece of paper to carry around with me and show it to folks. I'm normal. But the question, see, the question is, what's normal? Every one of us are different. Amen? Somewhere in your personality, you're a little twisted. And I'm a little twisted. That's why Jesus came. All the way from glory down to the cross was to save my twisted soul.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
And he said, come. They'll stare at you. Don't worry about that. They stare at you everywhere.
That's right.
They think they're the only normal one in the world. Well, they may laugh at you. Well, that's all right, too. There's people getting paid good money for people to laugh at you.
That's right.
Amen. If you're good enough at it, you can go to Hollywood and make millions.
That's right.
But the devil's going to tell you anything you listen to. They'll stare. They'll laugh. Well, that's all right. The devil will say, look what you're giving up. You're giving all this up if you get saved. Let me tell you something. I've been on both sides. I've been lost, and now I'm saved.
Amen.
And folks, for 22 years of my life, I lived in a junkyard. Are you with me? I was fearful that I was going to lose all my comrades. But listen, when by faith I come to Christ, I crossed over into paradise.
Right.
Because I can lay down at night now and sleep knowing all is well with my soul.
Amen.
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 To the Christian, he says, come. He said to Peter, come. And some will say, well, I came to him and he saved me. Well, that's not the end of the road. That's only the beginning. Some of you have come to Christ and still lingering and wrestling with baptism. He invited you to come and show to the world your faith in Christ Jesus in the watery grave of baptism, where he levels the playing field for the introvert and the extrovert. He says, come, learn of me. Don't ever stop short of learning about your Savior. Then practice what you've learned. And then go into all the world and teach and preach Jesus Christ to every soul that you encounter around the world. I want to close this morning with this thought. Sarah and I yesterday afternoon was having a little personal worship time, and there's some great things about the internet. You can just type in just about any subject you line, anything you're looking for in life. And I typed in the words, I will follow him. And a tabernacle choir began to sing, I will follow him. Love him, love him, love him. Where he goes, I'll follow. I'll follow, I'll follow. I will follow him. Follow him wherever he may go. There isn't an ocean too deep. There's not a mountain so high that'll keep me away. I will follow. I will follow. And you see, most of the time, we criticize Peter for having that small faith. But I want to challenge you to think about this morning. He was the only one in the boat that had enough faith to get out and walk in the water. Amen. Now his faith was small. And the Lord Jesus told him that. There's a lot of room for growth in your faith, Peter. Well, what about the other 11? Where were they? Still in the safety of the boat. Don't be left behind in the boat. I'd rather be sinking with Jesus than to be in the best boat in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Isn't it refreshing once in a while to see a big man go overboard for Jesus? Amen. He got out of the boat. He stepped out into that deep, treacherous, boisterous water and walked towards his master. Oh, it's time some of us got out of the boat.
Amen. Amen. Don't get left behind.
And Jesus just said, come. But I might fail. Peter failed.
Okay.
He looked at the wind and began to sink, and he cried out, Master! And Jesus reached out, touched him by the hand.
Yeah.
I have to continuously look to my Master and say, help me, Master. I'll sing without you.
Amen.
Heads are bowed. I will follow him. I will follow him. Where he leads me, I will follow him. Whatever the need is this morning, Jesus is saying, come. Come. to the lost person. He's saying, come, let me save you this day. To the Christian, he's saying, come, get out of the boat. Yes, it's treacherous. Yes, it's deep. It's boisterous. But come. Come. You'll be able to do the impossible. Master, right now in the quietness of this moment, move upon every heart. Challenge them to follow you. In only the way that you can. I've done my best. But Lord, it takes the power and the presence of He, the Holy Spirit, to move upon hearts this day. Follow Him. Follow Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn, looking for you to come. Quickly. Come on, even before we begin to sing. Come on. We want you to leave first.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, boomscreekbaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.